Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Good morning, good morning. Yeah, hello. We're on the other side. It's Tuesday. Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the club and she chews and club going up. All right, let's play the clip from Amazing Day. Steve Cohen or David Stearns first? You have this. I don't care what Stearns had to say, and I can kind of surmise what he had to say. Like I said, I think Steve Cohen is a cold-blooded dude. He doesn't give off that look and appearance, but play what he had to say.
We've put, made a significant offer to Pete. What Davis said is correct. He's entitled to go out and explore his market, and that's what he's doing. Personally, this has been an exhausting conversation and negotiation. I mean, Soto was tough. This is worse. Okay? A lot of it is, we've made a significant, I don't like the structures that are being presented back to us. I think it's highly asymmetric against us, and I feel strongly about it. And so, I will never say no, there's always the possibility. But the reality is, we're moving forward and, we continue to bring in players. As we continue to bring in players, the reality is, it becomes harder to fit Pete into a, what is a very expensive, group of players that we already have. And that's where we are. And I'm being brutally honest. I don't like the negotiations. I don't like what's been presented to us. Maybe that changes and certainly... I'll always stay flexible. If it stays this way, I think we're going to have to get used to the fact that, we may have to go forward and with the existing players that we have.
As he started talking, somebody in the background's like, "Get it done." But after he says all that he had to say, they're like, "This is your king speaking." Not my king. I would never, this is your king, King Cohen. Basically telling you, I don't like the negotiations. Scott Boras took a straight shot at Scott Boras. I know you're going to hear this, Scott. You were just here, right? The Soto stuff was easy compared to this. You were just here for the press conference. It was way different dealing with you for Juan Soto, who has never played for us. It was way different dealing with you to get Juan Soto as a free agent versus our own guy that I have a relationship with that I do want here. But come on, you're not going to build a contract against us and expect me to sign it. You don't become a $20 billion man making deals like that. So for him to be brutally honest, that's why I say he's cold-blooded. When it comes to business, when it comes to money, when it comes to the almighty dollar, this guy's not playing around. Yeah, he's leaving the door open, but like not forever. They'll move on with the options that they have. And I'm starting to look at this like, yo, this isn't Pete. This is Scott. And I think it's just too far gone. I don't think there's any way for Pete to, call Scott Boras off now. AJ's in Port Jefferson. What's up, AJ? You're on the Fan. Sorry.
Hey, Keith. What's going on, man? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I just want to weigh in on the Jets and the Mets, if I may. I'll start with the Jets. The Aaron Glenn press conference. No, I'm 32 years old, so I'm getting used to, as a Jets fan, I'm getting used to winning press conferences, and that's it. I've been to the playoffs since I'm in high school. But I will say, I can't help but, get a little excited listening to this guy speak today. We use the term leader of men, and, there's some clips that surface from his time with the Lions on Hard Knocks and whatnot. And when this guy speaks, he controls the room.
Yeah.
And the Jets, if you watch, you know, the Jets games this year, whether it was Salah or when Olbrich took over, it got worse. They are the most undisciplined football team. And, you know, you played it. You can have all the talent in the world on that roster. They're so undisciplined. I think that stuff right there, though,
Everybody's got to buy in. You got to be united. There's got to be just one heartbeat of the team. What I love from today, and, you know, Muji didn't say much, but he said he spoke about how when he was with the Broncos and they interviewed Aaron Glenn, they basically said to him, like, hey, if you got the job, like, what would your intro speech be? And he impromptu was like, you want me to do it? You want me to just, like, cook up one right now? You want me to do this live? And he did, and that stuck with them, where later on they kept looking around, right? They probably talked to a bunch of other people and coaches. Granted, they ended up hiring Sean Payton, who's an all-timer. But that stuck with them, where they're like, yo, he killed that. Like that was impressive. Right. So that came back around, and I think he's going to have those guys fired up. There's a big difference. What team was it recently where they were talking about? There was a team recently. I got to go look back in my notes where they were talking about, you know, a coach giving a good speech to make the hair stand up on your arm, to make you feel like you want to cry, like you're about to run through a wall, and how that can translate to a good game.
Yeah, that might be my guy Marcus Freeman with my Fighting Irish.
Yeah, maybe. I think maybe you're Ryan Day. There was someone recently, I want to say it was Taylor Lewan and maybe Bustin' with the Boys talking about it. I got to go find it. But they were talking about the different. It was Mike Vrabel. That's who it was.
Okay.
And they were talking about Mike Vrabel, him being a former player, and the speeches that he used to give and how fired up they would get to go out there and play. I mean, I had some coaches where I had a coach in high school and in college where I'm like, they shouldn't do the talking. They're good coaches, but before the game, they can kill all that fire you have in you. They can, you know, make the room just be like, what?
No, listen, I played baseball in college, and I had coaches, like you said, you know, I had coaches where, you know, they say things to you, and you're like, I don't even want to play at this point. Then you have the opposite. But anyway, talking about baseball, with the Mets, you know, just played the clip, so I'm just going to jump into that. Diehard Mets fan. You know, I think it's hard for me because I love Pete, obviously. I want him to come back. I think with Soto, he's a perfect – I think the pressure will be off Pete. I think he'll feast. But on the other end, I think Steve Cohen's making it loud and clear to Scott Boras and to anyone else that wants to do business with the Mets. The Mets are going to do business a certain way. Just because he's the richest owner in sports does not mean that you're going to take advantage. I'm hearing rumors. I don't – you know, like you said, you know, you don't know what's true. I'm hearing rumors that some of the terms that Boras is coming back with, that he wants opt-outs where if Pete opts out, Mets have to pay him for the opt-outs even more.
Yes.
Like at this point, bro, go ahead, Scott. Let it drag out. You saw that worked out with some guys last year. Let it drag out. Let go Pete. Let Pete go play in California for the Angels and see how much he enjoys that. So if he wants to play ball, he bet on himself. He didn't have a great year. We know what he's capable of. He's a big-time power hitter. He's not a superstar. He's a good player. He's a slugger. Not a superstar. You bet on yourself. You didn't win. If you want to come play for a winning organization and an organization that's serious about winning, then and you want to retire a Met, then come play ball. But Cohen's not going to be taken advantage of, and I'm actually thrilled from what I heard. And like you said, you don't hear honesty from owners. How many times you hear franchises, oh, where's the owner? They don't ever speak. This guy just tells it how it is, and I can't help but respect that.
Yeah, you have to. Thanks for the call, AJ. 888-808-1019. It's a level of confidence that should assure you as a fan that, like, it's all good. It might suck to lose Pete potentially this offseason. It might hurt that, you know, you had an offseason plan where he was coming back. But when you hear an owner talk about, like, what did he say? It's, like, asymmetrical. He said something like it's just, like, the contract is set up against us. And basically Scott Boras is putting contracts in front of them where – there's multiple opt-outs, and every year that Pete opts out, the Mets would owe him money, like bonus money. So, like, they're basically looking at him like, we're not fools, we're not dumb, and Pete is not like that. Yes, he hit a great home run against Devin Williams to keep us alive, turned it on in the next series, but, like, we're not talking about a Juan Soto here. We're not talking about a Saquon Barkley here. Charlie in Queens on the Fan. What's up, Charlie?
How you doing, fellow bleacher creature?
Good. Can't wait to get back. Can't wait to just be sitting out there randomly in the summer watching the game and then driving down here to host the show.
With the situation with New York sports, Giants and Mets, Saquon is the top. Excellent player, and they should have built around him. And nothing against Daniels, but Daniels wasn't anything without Saquon saving his butt a few times. Take care of the guy who's going to make you
Charlie,
a champion.
Yeah, but Charlie, that's what I say about the GM and his GM book for dummies. In his GM book for dummies, it says, well, the quarterback is the most important player in the NFL. Bum, 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 bum. Like, not Daniel Jones. Well, the running back is devalued in the NFL because the Kansas City Chiefs can plug in Kareem Hunt. They can plug in Perine, Pacheco, and go to the Super Bowl. That's them. You can't do that. You have Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley wants to play for you. Pay him. I don't know.
I agree. And, to me, it was like, when you want a guy who wants to stay with you that much, don't be foolish, bro. And it's also the coach should have told the GM, let's be honest, Daniels is not the level of Barkley.
Yeah,
if we could draft a year or two from now and keep Barkley.
Dable should have been Daniel Jones? No.
Yeah, Daniels is not the one who runs the train. It's the other way. And the thing about Pete, right now, Pete, I'm in your corner somewhat. I think you better cut ties with Scott. In a couple of days, just calm down, call the owner and say, look, what do we need to do, both of us, for me to save some face and for you not to be screwed over, and forget about Boris, because I want to stay a Met for the rest of my life. I want to end my career with you guys. I want to help the team win. I want to ring myself with this team. What do we need to do to end this whole mess up? Because I think Boris, like you said, and everybody's saying, Boris is the problem. And I'm going to hang up and thank you and have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. Yeah, the quote was, I don't like the structures that are being presented to us. It's highly asymmetric against us, and I feel strongly about it. It's basically, don't piss on my head and tell me it's raining. Remember I used to drop that? That's what Steve Cohen is saying to Scott Boris about his own guy. Don't piss on my head and tell me it's raining, bro. Don't. We offered you 3 years, $90 million. Don't come back to me and say, here's a special offer, only for New Yorkers, only for New York Mets. Opt out, opt out, opt out, where, okay, you read the fine print, and it's like, I owe Pete Alonso X amount of dollars. Like, nah. I think it's, for Pete, it's too far gone. He can't get rid of Scott Boris. Scott Boris got him into this mess. Scott Boris got to somehow get him out of this mess. But I think the writing's on the wall that he's not going to be a Met, and he's going to be the next Scott Boris client to lose a lot of money, and that's unfortunate, man. Up in the BX, King George on the Fan. What's up?
How's it going, Keith Mack Attack? And have a good January and February so you can march on through.
Hey, yes, sir. Thanks for calling.
And the Giants go through these stupid phases. You weren't around, probably. But they had a chance to get Lombardi or Landry. Who did they pick? Ali Sherman. They had Joe Robustelli. And it took the commissioner to make him get a real GM. What was his name? George Young. The Giants go through these phases of stuck on stupid. And you wouldn't be able to run if you had the Giants' offensive line. That offensive line will get a quarterback or a running back hurt. And they never seem to draft one that.
During the break, George, as much as we're talking about Saquon wouldn't have been this or done this, Tyrone Tracy was able to get 1,000 yards all-purpose on the ground, and this is his, third year playing running back. I don't know. Obviously, we wouldn't expect the same type of season out of Saquon, but I'll just never get off of it. Thanks for the call, George. I'll never get off of it as far as Giants fans trying to cope, save face. You have the audio. You have multiple interviews. Since I've been at the Fan, I've been watching all this. I sat with Kim Jones. We did a Thursday Giants show. Two years ago when they went to the playoffs, Kim Jones, being a Penn Stater, very close with Saquon. I know what she would say. Saquon wanted to be here. He didn't want to go anywhere. He was building his life here, had his kids here, had eyes on being a New Yorker and a Giant for life, had eyes on being the leading rusher for the Giants. Like, that's where people are losing it with me with like the legacy thing. And I keep talking about it, and I end up muting the conversation online because I'm like, people are just dense, bro. They're just dumb-dumbs. They just don't get it. If the man tells you he wants his legacy to be a Giant, that means he's riding through good or bad. And when you have a generational talent like that, you don't just say, go test the market, and then he tests the market and goes to your arch rival, and you say, okay, you got to fight for that not to happen. Because if you don't, it turns into the Philadelphia Eagles going back to the Super Bowl, and if they win it, it's forever. The NFL, it is forever. You will never live it down. It will be talked about forever. C-Mac coming up next. C-Mac, you're waiting for them to stop talking about the Giants. They will never, ever, ever stop talking about the Giants because the Giants open Pandora's box with this. What if this guy rushes for 200 yards in the Super Bowl? What if he breaks the Super Bowl rushing record? What if he's the MVP of the Super Bowl? What if he has 3 touchdowns in the Super Bowl? They're going to be talking about the Giants the whole Super Bowl. You're going to be sick. The whole offseason, he's going to do podcasts, interviews, right? The difference between playing in Philly and playing in East Rutherford, it's we've only just begun. Chris in Bergen County on the Fan. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, eh? How you doing tonight?
You know, rewatching the Knicks highlights a little bit, still talking about how we got here with Saquon Barkley. I think part of it, too, I'm mad as a Cowboys fan in the division. I hate the Eagles. They're my least favorite team in any sport, any league. And I'm like, how do you let them get Saquon? Like, come on.
So, no stars whatsoever in the house?
Nah. You know what I did today? I have a bottle opener. My son knows like beer. And he knows the bottle opener is for the beer. I peeled the Dallas Cowboys. Like this sticker was on there, like factory seal. I peeled it off because I like the bottle opener. It's one of those longer like bartender ones. I peeled it off. No stars in the house because my wife, she sees my son with the Yankee logos everywhere. He knows Yankees baseball. No Jerry Joneses. Jerry Jones looks in the mirror and he sees the star logo. So you can't find a Dallas Cowboys logo in my house.
Dude, that's great. I love it. You're absolutely right. Pete's going to look back at his career one day and say, what's the biggest mistake I ever made? And it's going to be signing with Scott Boras. Absolutely 1,000%.
And leaving these Mets in David Stern's second year,
absolutely.
Cohen's what,
absolutely.
Fourth year? Like, what if they actually go back-to-back playoffs this year and you're in Toronto or Anaheim? It's just like, it's going to be penny-wise, pound-foolish, or just like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy. When are we going to start in the NFL? And I get it, everybody watches. You know, not everybody understands. But when are we going to realize that half of the winning and losing isn't because of the head coach? It's all those guys that are below him,
mm-hmm.
all of those coaches. When are we going to start looking at, oh, he put together a good staff, or, oh, you know what? He didn't put together
coach,
a good
I'm
staff.
Trying to tell these people, I'm putting together in my notes, Ben Johnson is putting together an incredible staff with the Bears.
When you have, and listen, you know the deal. If you have a good position coach that you really love, you're going to run through a wall for him. If you have a position coach that, listen, these guys are pros. They understand and they know a good coach from a bad coach.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you put together coaches that really don't know what's going on, you know, per se, you know, obviously you're at that level, so you know what's going on. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, the players see right through it, and they're out there on their own, and they don't play through it. They don't succeed.
Well, just like, you know, coaches have to trust players. Players got to trust coaches too.
Yeah,
and when there's
putting
no trust
in the right position to succeed
in that room, when there's no trust in that room, you know what? This is what you end up with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we saw it with the Giants last year. Or 2 years ago,
oh,
even, with Wink Martindale. And we started hearing stuff, some rumblings about Xavier McKinney. We started hearing some different things about, and like, that was telling you everything about the Giants. Like, there was some trouble.
You want to hear the Xavier McKinney stuff? Call me. I'll talk all day about it.
Well, I mean, clearly he wanted out. He went to the Packers, and, you know, he's doing good now.
It it runs so deep in that room, it's not even funny.
Yeah, but that's a great call. Thanks for the call, Coach. As I'm trying to tell y'all, okay, the Aaron Glenn press conference, fantastic. I'm glad you won some people over. I'm glad you were ready to talk to the media, control the media, whatever. Where is your staff? Who are you hiring? It is the most important thing. You are the figurehead. You are the CEO. You got to meet the media. You got, but like, okay, I heard Darren Mooji talk about, oh yeah, you know, I barely slept. Like I was in the air 12 hours ago. I came in here, didn't find my office. Well, lock in. It's Tuesday. You need to hire a staff. I see Aaron Glenn, you know, they asked him if he'd be calling the plays on defense. I don't know why people like, I don't know how many calls I took. Oh, look at him. He's not a better defensive coordinator than Rob Saleh. He's not going to be the defensive coordinator. And he himself said, I have to be the best head coach I can be. So in order for me to do that, I need to manage the game. I'm going to have an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. And they even asked him, like, is it going to be somebody with ties to you? He said, no, I'm looking for the best coach because that's foolish as well. Oh, it's got to be somebody I got a relationship. Oh, it's got to be somebody I used to coach with, somebody I played with for a year, somebody. No, you. This is the NFL. You have to hire the best coaches you can hire around you because they have to help, like, they have to help you coach and prepare and game plan, and they got to report back to you. Like, when I read what Jeff Ulbrich said about the yes men in the building and the truth tellers and what needs to be on the head coach's table and what doesn't. It is so important right now for Aaron Glenn. Like, I'm not a Jets fan, so I understand the Jets fans with the PTSD. I've been endorsing Aaron Glenn from the beginning. You may hear some people on WFAN that were not so high on him. I've been endorsing him because I've been watching him. I watched him on Hard Knocks. I watched him on the Pivot podcast years ago. Hard Knocks, I think, was 3 seasons ago. Pivot podcast was 2 years ago. I've been aware of this guy coming up the ranks, but now that he's got the job, and I love that he said, I wasn't leaving here without a handshake from Woody that I got the job. He didn't want to go to New Orleans, snowstorm or not. He didn't want to go to Jerry World. What a joke they are in Dallas. He wanted the Jets job. Okay, AG, hire the best staff possible. Darren Mooji, hire the best staff possible and start now because these guys are disappearing. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Josh and Passaic on the Fan before we break. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Good. Just trying to go back to my notes from last week and see where I was putting together Ben Johnson's staff. I know he took Antoine Randle-L from the Lions. I know he took Al Harris from the Cowboys. He made a couple other moves. But I'm like, Ben Johnson, he must have been 1 foot out the door in week 8. He's putting it together fast.
Mm-hmm, and Keith, first, you know, very happy that, you know, once the Eagles won, I need the Chiefs to win because that team, they know how to win. They take advantage of mistakes. I trust them to beat the Eagles. It would kill me to see the Eagles win, even though it would not as much as probably would have been 2 years ago because the amount they care about the Giants is significantly lower. But anyways, looking at the Mets, Keith, Scott Boras is a real pain. And I don't know any other agent in all sports except for him. Their names shouldn't be known. And I think Steve Cohen should start something, just block this guy out, get a few owners going, that they won't talk to him unless you get a different agent. This is so stupid.
Can't do that.
And it was great that he was honest. And I love that. I love having the owner that actually cares. But the one small issue I do have is the words that he says, we have a pricey team. I think, I wonder if Stern's got a little to his head. I love the Soto signing. We all loved it. It was amazing. But after that, what did they do to address the hitting? Almost nothing.
Well, yeah, he wasn't lying about how much the team is going to cost. There's a lot of guys, like when you add up the money in the payroll.
But it's not the team's not near the Dodgers. There's no aces on this team. So you shouldn't just be paying two hitters on this team. I know they're paying Nimmo
a few
dollars.
They believe in Stearns and Hefner in this pitching lab. Frankie Montas actually went to Amazing Day and said this rotation has the potential to pretty much throw 5 number 1s over 5 days.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to try to say that, come out and say, not going to come out and say, you know, we're number 3s, number 4s. And even if they play well, there's a limit to how well they're actually going to play versus, you know, what they've done last few years. Yeah, they can come out great, but they're not paying them that much money. And the fact that they've let so many guys that pay $10-15 million, like Profar, or, you know, not for Dugo, but there's so many other names. Teoscar Hernandez, though, I'm sure you want to go to the Dodgers, whatever it is.
You got Minter. What?
Yeah, I understand, but the hitting hasn't been addressed, and, you know, that bottom of the lineup was not good versus the Dodgers, and you have to be thinking as you make this team, how are we getting past the Dodgers? Don't hope that you avoid them somehow. That's got to be your goal, and I trust in Stearns, but, you know,
Jose,
I remember calling
you. You got Jose Siri?
Yes, thank you. Because right, these guys are 250, you know, 30 home runs. He's solid. These guys are solid players. But you do need, you know, let's look at the lineup. You want to put it Lindor, Soto, Vientos, Lindor, Vientos, Soto. And then what? I like Acuna, but he played a month of good baseball. Mauricio, I don't even know if he's going to be back by then. And if McNeil's still on the team. I said Nimmo's solid, but, you know, he's not giving you too much pop. Alvarez has still not proven himself to be a great hitter. He, you know, we're hoping for him to
take a step
up.
They're willing to roll the dice on that. Everything that they're saying about these young guys and Stearns. Stearns said it, and he got booed, but he talked about internal options and seeing some of the young guys, and, hey, we saw him last year. We need to see it again. And if they got to make moves at the deadline, they'll make moves at the deadline, but, like,
I'm hoping they plan on doing something quick. If they don't get Alonso, they can't go into the year with this lineup. It can turn out better, but that's not how you should enter the year. And why wait four months by trade deadline? It's not, you know, you don't even see that great names get moved anyway. And you're looking into Max Scherzer now? Is that really who they're impressed by?
Sure.
No, that guy, I don't want to see that guy again. He can stay in Texas and
as
gotta get a ring without him doing
it. You might be better off pitching him as a starter than Clay Holmes.
It could be, but I want real aces, and I told them, I'm sure these guys that Stearns got will turn out well, but they're not paying them ace money. I just don't know why they didn't go out and get another hitter, and the Alonso thing, it sounds like they're not going to get them because Boris is a pain, and I'm just upset that they didn't get one or two other solid players. We never know. They can still do anything. You know, it can happen any second. They can trade for someone. Bregman sounds like he's going back to the Astros, and I don't even want him for more than a few years. But Team Stearns, if the guy wants more than 3 years and more than $30 million, the guy's not coming here. Hopefully he figures it out. I don't know, Keith. That's just my small thing that I was annoyed about. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Josh. 888-808-1019. I don't know, man. AJ Minter said the fans across town don't know ball, but the Mets fans do. And it seems like the Mets fans aren't quite so content with what the Mets have done so far this offseason. Let me speak on AJ Minter. I mean, he's just a goofy. He's just clearly one of those guys that, like, tries to fit in. You could tell, you know, he was pumped to be in New York. You could also tell that he was, like, some years late. Like, the Mets are supposed to be big bro now. Why are you taking a shot at the Yankees if you're a big bro? Maybe 5-10 years ago you do that. But, like, you're not supposed to be randomly calling out a Yankee fan base. And here's why that's foolish, AJ Minter. You just got to the city. I saw the picture you posted on the streets. New York, New York. When people are like, you come here, you think it's a movie scene. It's not. You might be pulling up somewhere to get your coffee, and that's a Yankee fan making your coffee. You might be pulling up somewhere to get your car, and the guy's got to get your car as a Yankee fan. And I know a lot of loco, crazy Yankee fans. They're not going to forget. And I know Yankee fans tagging me in this. Yo, Keith, what's your take on AJ Minter? What are your thoughts on this? He's corny, just trying to fit in with other cornballs. A lot of goofiness going on. You've made 4 appearances at Yankee Stadium. I think taking a shot, coming to New York, right? You're a former Brave. Why don't you take a shot at the Braves? Why don't you take a shot at the Phillies? You would be better served going at the Marlins or the Nationals than going against fans, specifically fans, right? He didn't say anything about the Yankees organization, players on the team. Specifically fans that you are going to be living amongst. 888-808-1019. I've got the coaching staff of the Chicago Bears under Ben Johnson. I'm telling you, he's cooking. I said, forget my notes. Let me just Google it. And, of course, they have a tracker. So when we come back, we'll go through that. We'll go through your calls. If you're on hold, stay on hold. If you'd like to chime in, dial 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Such a random beat. Destiny's Child. Jumping. I don't even know what the song's called. I just know it's a girl song, which is fine. I mean, shout out to the ladies listening to The Fan at 12:45 at night. Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and they pocket full of chrome. I'm not going to hold you. I definitely had the Destiny's Child CD. That's how I even know. I mean, Destiny's Child had a bunch of hits. I remember having that CD on my like first Walkman, too. I had Limp Bizkit. Probably had Bow Wow. Who else did I have on a CD back then? I used to steal my brother's CDs, my brother's DMX CD. Then I get in trouble because I wasn't really supposed to be listening to DMX CD back then. But you know how that goes. Anyway, 888-808-1019. The head coach of the Chicago Bears will be compared to the head coach of the New York Jets for the next few years. Ben Johnson going from the Lions to the Bears in division, bold move, but he's making bold moves. Ben Johnson is already filling out his staff. He's not wasting any time, and I am urging Moogie and Glenn to get started because like guys will disappear. So in his staff, he takes Antoine Randle-L, who is the receivers coach with the Lions, makes him his assistant head coach. Immediately going to get respect because he was a baller. He was a player. Everybody knows Antoine Randle-L, and he's a like hard-nosed coach. He's real. His offensive coordinator is Declan Doyle. Now, I don't expect you to know the name Declan Doyle, but if you just throw it in Twitter, Ian Rappaport put out, Declan Doyle is the tight end coach from the Broncos who is a rising offensive mind, and he's just 28 years old. So a young coach that's supposed to be one of these young whippersnappers, maybe the next Ben Johnson. And if you know anything about Ben Johnson went from being a tight ends coach to like a passing game coordinator, then ultimately getting the nod at OC. For defensive coordinator, he hires Dennis Allen. You know who Dennis Allen is. Dennis Allen was the head coach of the Saints. So there goes the guy on your staff that has head coach experience and recent head coach experience in this NFL. His special teams coach, he hires Richard Hightower. And I don't think I had anything on Richard Hightower, but I had to go back to my notes and see. I'm just like, I've been impressed every time. It's like, this guy's hired. This guy's hired. I'm like, wait, yo, they're not wasting any time. They're not wasting any time over there, the Bears. And like, the Bears have talent. So if you immediately put the right coaches in place with the talent, they're going to try and compete next year. And they got to take on the Lions. They got to take on the Packers, both playoff teams, and the Minnesota Vikings. Every team in their division was a playoff team. So they don't have any time to waste. And I like that urgency. Please, New York Jets, Darren Mooji, Aaron Glenn, have some urgency about filling out your coaching staff. And look at what Ben Johnson has done. Shake some trees and figure it out fast because the best coaches will not be available much longer. They're all finding spots as like John Spytek and Pete Carroll have their press conference today out in Vegas with Tom Brady, Davis, and the Raiders. They're going to they're going to be on the hunt looking for coaches to fill out their staff. I saw Beast Mode was out there and he yelled Raiders during the press conference. And I'm like, Beast Mode, chill, bro. Have some respect. Have some professionalism. But, you know, obviously, former Seattle Seahawk. He's happy for Pete Carroll. He's from the Bay Area. So he's pumped for the Raiders, even though they don't play in Oakland anymore. 888-808-1019. Again, Aaron Glenn, you won the press conference. It wasn't too long, but I watched the whole stream. Him answering questions after. I thought he did a good job. Like I said, the things that stood out to me was that he went back to that 98 championship game with the Broncos. He talked about doing it in New Orleans, doing it in Detroit. But like how special it is to win in this city, capturing the city, nothing like it. And I laughed and I put in my notes. I'm like, oh, he knows he doesn't have to worry about the Giants capturing the city before him. He knows that the Jets, if the Jets make it to the playoffs next year, and you look at the Giants schedule, they're not making the playoffs next year. I don't care what they do or who they get. They're not making the playoffs. Then it's a Jets town. In year one for AG, he's a toast of the town. 888-808-1019, Mario Long Beach back on the Fan. And Mario, I did finally find time to watch the full evolution of the quarterback on Amazon, and I learned some things that I didn't know. It was great.
Yeah, wasn't it interesting? I didn't watch the whole thing, but it was really interesting.
It was good, man. It was really good, interesting, and it's funny. They open up talking about the history that was made with Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes playing in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. If Fast forward, here we are.
Exactly. So you know, it's very interesting. You know, you're talking about Barkley earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this thing makes, you know, it's such mismanagement on the Giants side of their personnel. Let's go back. I think you mentioned Galladay earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Galladay. And here's the thing that I don't understand, right? Galladay, they got him, I think his contract was like $76 million or something for 4 years, $40 million guaranteed. He never even played, really. He had hamstring problems. So when he came, he had hamstring problems again. So I'm a proponent. If you got soft tissue problems somewhere else, don't sign with me, because the same thing is going to happen in most cases. And so what do they do, Keith? They do the same thing with Waller. Waller had the same issues.
Yeah, hamstring, they traded for him versus him. Free agent sign him, right? Then they signed Galladay as a free agent. Waller they traded for. But either way, he barely played.
They paid him $76 million. I don't know. I know that was a salary. I don't know why they. So I think the same thing with Waller. They gave him a third round pick for him and paid him money. Hamstring problems, never played and then retired, right? Now let's fast forward to this. What about the tight end that is now on Jacksonville? He's an all pro.
Shout out to my boy Alex Day. When I always run through the gamut of Xavier McKinney, Sterling Shepard, Leonard Williams, Julian Love, obviously Saquon Barkley, I always leave Evan Ingram out. 2 years ago, he had a banner year. This year, he was hurt, and I think that's why, because he missed like the first half of the year. But he turned into a much better player in Jacksonville. They drafted
him. He was an All-Pro. He made the Pro Bowl.
Oh, Daniel Jones' first game that he broke out against the Buccaneers? Evan Ingram was a big part of that.
Exactly. And now with Barkley, you know, it really makes me laugh. They can't afford him. They paid him $10 million. All he's making is $12.5 right now
the guaranteed money. They didn't want to give him the guaranteed money. The AAV is not crazy.
Yeah, but you know what's ridiculous, and nobody says this? They're paying Brian Burns, that lineman, right?
Oh, I mentioned all the guys they brought in. I didn't mention Illuminor and Runyon because they had to, again, the typical Giants, every year they got to try and figure out the line, fix the line. But I mentioned, they pivoted and paid Brian Burns $150 million. They paid Devin Singletary. They paid Drew Lock. Like, come on, man. Like, and what did those guys do?
Brian Burns Brian Burns was $28 million, right? So I looked it up. He had 8 sacks. So that means he got paid $3.5 million for each sack. 8 sacks. And then listen to this. Brian Burns is making more than T.J. Watt and more than Max Crosby. He's not even in the same planet as those two guys.
And you know why?
Right?
Because in Joe Shane's GM book for dummies, you pay an edge rusher. You pay a guy like that rushes the passer. And since he came from Carolina and had the connection with Carolina, he thought he was getting a steal of a deal. No, that guy was playing down there with Carolina, and I think he can be a good player in a better defense, but he doesn't have enough around him. And like trying to compare his stats with the Panthers and what he did there and thinking that was going to translate here to New York on a Giants, I don't know. That's why I said, you can't sell me that it was the right move to get rid of Saquon. What did you pivot and do, and what did you get? What was the return? What's the return that the Eagles got, your division rival, versus what you were able to pivot and turn into? Nothing.
Right, and then what they say all the time that makes me crazy is, well, he wouldn't have done as good with the Giants. Well, no, but still, you know what he averaged the last 2 years he was with the Giants? 1,450 yards total offense a year for the last 2 years, and 10 touchdowns each year.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Now, would he have gotten 2,000 with the Giants? No, but
he would have helped you win some of those close games. Maybe would have helped you win that Cowboys game. Maybe could have helped you in that first Commanders game where all they did was kick the ball. I'm sure, and I said this earlier in the year, man, when it was him and Odell Beckham on the field, you had to pick your poison. You're going to put 8 guys in the box to stop the run? You're going to leave man coverage out there with Odell? With Neighbors and Saquon this year, Saquon would have had a good year this year.
Exactly what I was going to say. The same thing. And the offensive line was a little bit better, too. So instead of 1,450
and Daniel
yards,
Jones maybe, wouldn't have had to feel like he's got to run over linebackers and take on the whole defense and press and having a couple plays off, handing the ball to Barkley. You can't tell me anything different.
Right.
We've all watched the whole season. And my mind is made up. Everybody can have their opinion,
right,
but my mind is made up on
exactly.
It. It was a huge mistake.
And my quick,
Didn't Tom Brady say a giant mistake in the broadcast last night? I'm like, damn, he called it a giant mistake, and that was pun intended.
Yes. Quickly, my last point, then I'll let you go, is Daniel Jones should give him a gift, because without him, he would have never got that $80 million contract without Barkley, because one of the reasons he got that contract is because Barkley was in the backfield the year that he got that contract.
Yeah, they're still friends, and supposedly it was reported that Daniel Jones was, I don't know if it was for the championship, but the divisional round, Daniel Jones was in Saquon Barkley's, box at the game, suite at the game. And I bet you they're good, and there's no gift exchanges. And Saquon knows what he did. Saquon knows what the Giants did.
Right, exactly. I mean, and some of the things that are said, like one host said, and I'm not even going to say who it was, in 2022, he said, I would take Daniel Jones above Lamar Jackson. In 2022.
No, I know. I know. It's a lot of tweaking going on. Thanks for the call, Mario. It's a lot of tweaking going on. That's why you need me. The diversity that I bring to the mic isn't just my skin tone. There's a lot of tweaking going on because hearts are on the line. Fandom is involved. Daniel Jones over Lamar Jackson. Yeah, people said that with Daniel Jones over Dak Prescott. People are saying, oh, Saquon, he's injury prone. Like, come on, bro. Just stop. The whole league is laughing. And, like, since my heart is not there, and like I said, if anything, I'm mad as a stupid Dallas Cowboys fan, but I'm out now. I'm a free agent now. I told you guys a story, right? My son's, like, 3 seasons away from picking his team. My wife used to be a Patriots fan. Brady hung it up. Or Brady went to the Bucks. She's not really on that. So, as a family, we're going to pick a team, and the heir to my throne, Jackson King McPherson, he gets the pick. So I'm out on the Cowboys. But, obviously, being a kid, a young man, and a grown man as a Dallas fan and hating the Eagles, I hate to see them prosper. So I look at the Giants like, shake my head. Why? Why anybody but the Eagles? 888-808-1019. Let's sneak another call in before we go to the break. Ross in Bergen County, back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hanging out. You know how it goes.
Yeah, real quick, you're talking about the Dallas. You see that clip where they had the press conference for Schottenheimer?
I watched the whole thing.
Do you see how they not a single clap was heard for Stephen Jones?
Nope.
They had to have Schottenheimer start clapping for him. Like, nope. Oh, my God.
We don't respect him. He's another Nepo baby. He spoke the least and had the dumbest quote. This guy put air quotes around the fact, like, oh, yeah, this drought we're in, and he put up air quotes. You're in a drought. What are you talking about? Do you not know how air quotes work? You're in a drought. It's been 30 years since you've been to an NFC championship game. We just watched your division rivals play in the NFC championship game. Don't put air quotes about, like, oh, yeah, this drought we're in. You're in a drought. You're in denial.
Swear to God, look, you got Jimmy Carter running the team. I mean, I don't felt bad for you, but it sounds like, you're freeing yourself, and honestly, I can't blame you. But honestly, you want to talk about the Giant fans, and I heard C-Mac kind of pushing this narrative too. It's obviously a pick your poison going into that game over the weekend, but I think if there's one sigh of relief, look, barring something, catastrophic happening, roster-wise, big picture-wise, Philly's been here, is currently here, and isn't going anywhere anytime soon. So you kind of expect them to, it's basically whatever at this point. But if you're a Giant fan, Washington was your buddy in the basement for however long. They were the easy pickings. They were kind of, if anything, you looked more down on them than they looked down on you. And the fact that they not only leapfrogged you, and it, obviously, with the whole Hard Knocks thing and everything, it felt like Drake May was the guy they should have traded up for and didn't in reality, more so than Daniels. But still, the fact that as bad as you were, the team that was even worse than you in the division was the team that not only leapfrogged you as a 4-5-1 team the year prior, but as far as a conference championship, which, by the way, kind of full circle with Dallas, I think they were the only NFC team with a longer conference title draft than Dallas.
32 years. Dallas will get there.
There goes that, yeah.
Dallas will get the 32 years.
So, I mean, if they had gone to the Super Bowl, that would be the ultimate sick joke. Because, like I said, Philly, you kind of expect it. But Washington, it's kind of like me with Minnesota and Detroit. It's one thing. Look, I'm going to assume going into every year, Green Bay is going to be good for 11, 12 wins. At this point, they're so far gone as an established team. When you got the low-hanging fruit of a joke like Detroit for so long, and they take that next step, all of a sudden you're like, all right, what the hell is this now? So I think, you don't want to root for Philly. But from a logistics standpoint like that, you know, it's good that, you know, for right now, you know, Washington's kind of still on that level of you know, obviously the Giants. And it's so weird. I brought it up to you once. You know, we were comparing the Giants to Jets. It's so crazy to think that this Giants franchise not only made it to a Super Bowl, but won one 12 years ago. And then even a couple years before that. It's just how fast just the sink
12 years is a long
time. The ship sunk. Yeah, but I mean, you compare it to some other teams that we were just dropping, what, like mid-1990s for Washington?
I mean, the Giants,
even longer.
The Giants fall from grace. Like, they had a Super Bowl appearance every decade. And then they had some playoff appearances in between. Like, where they're at now, I don't know. They are in a
I don't
abyss.
Even know where you go. Yeah, and I'll say one last thing on Saquon, you know. This is kind of like a tale of two different sides of the conversation. It's funny that of this whole running back, the death of the running back position saga, Eckler's kind of like the poster boy of it because he ran that little Zoom call. And it's funny that he had the fumble that was basically, stuck a fork in him yesterday. He had that costly fumble, whereas Saquon's kind of like kind of proves this point, you know, like trying to be
Saquon,
the team.
Saquon, Josh
position.
Jacobs, Derrick Henry, I'll even give a nod to Joe Mixon. All four of those guys left their teams, got paid, and went to the playoffs. So the running back is not devalued this year, and all those guys proved it.
But you look at the Super Bowl, I mean, there was that spreadsheet I think I brought up to you. You've seen it, too, of like the average salary of every Super Bowl
running
back.
Yeah, I used to use it all the time. I used to use it all the time.
I think
it's like 1 year Percy Harvin was like the leading rusher.
Right.
LeGarrette Blount.
It's Pacheco, and they've been giving the majority of carries to
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt lately, yeah. So, and obviously if Barkley wins it, he's going to be, you know, sailed to the top of that list of recent, you know, paid running backs. You know, you brought up Harvin, or is it, I don't even know. New England never had a primary first running back. It felt like you brought up Blount. They had the other guy.
James White.
James White, yeah. I mean, they were relied on the passing game. So when you got Barkley, and you brought up before, I think you're purely on skill. This is kind of the thing going into the year. They had that top 100. Everybody lost their minds with Tyreek being number one. And while Tyreek himself may not be number one, I don't think it's as crazy to think that because the whole thing was that Mahomes had to be the clear-cut number one. And just like generally speaking, he is the best player in the league. But skill-wise, it's hard to say it's anybody but Saquon. I mean, I can't remember the last time I've seen somebody change the impact.
Saquon is the best player playing right now. We got to stop denying it. Thanks for the call, Ross. I got 1 hour left. When we come back, we'll talk Knicks a little bit, but everything else is still on the table. Aaron Glenn, amazing day. Obviously, the Super Bowl and the conference championship games that we just watched. 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.